This is The Source. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. In 2005, I quit my job for the chance to float down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon in a wooden boat called a whitewater dory. You can't float the Colorado through the Grand Canyon in a wooden dory without knowing about Martin Litton. Martin Litton was a conservationist and an adventurer who is credited with the audacious feat of preventing the Grand Canyon from becoming a series of mild cascading reservoirs. He also perfected the flat-bottom drift boat that is now known as the Whitewater Dory into what he thought was the exact right shape for the rapids of the Grand Canyon. Dories are graceful but unforgiving. I saw a boat with its bow cracked clean off on a beach in the Grand Canyon. A note said R.I.P., the Pima, and detailed her last hours pinned between a cliff wall at the bottom of Horn Creek Rapid and the surge of the Colorado Current. The oranges that fell out of her busted open hatches could be found floating in eddies below most rapids for miles and miles downstream. We were halfway through the trip, and it was one of the more sobering moments of my life. This was Martin Litton's chosen mode of transportation down the river. Sleek, fast, curvaceous, gorgeous. He started a tour company called Grand Canyon Dories that took clients down the river in this way. Dories ride high on the tops of waves. They turn on a dime. They are the race car to the rubber raft's bulldozer. To understand the appeal of the boat of Litton's choice is to understand a bit about the man himself. He was a firecracker of a conservationist. He was a relentless advocate for wilderness. He was a daredevil with a cause. Martin Litton died around this time last year at the age of 97. In some ways, he left his legacy in the form of the Colorado River itself as it flows undammed through the Grand Canyon, but he also left his fleet of boats, one of the most exciting and adventurous ways to see the bottom of the canyon.
The river has a tremendous force. It has an appeal about it that I can't describe. But when you have people in a boat, to sense a kind of the life that the river has. It's mind-expanding, for sure.
That's Martin Litton in a new short documentary called Martin's Boat, about a new dory built in the year since his death.
How's the boat look?
Yeah.
It looks like a piece of artwork. Built this boat in memory of Martin Litton because he deserved it. I couldn't be happier. Tell you, I was a little worried that I wasn't going to get this thing done. To the last minute, got her finished.
Pete McBride is a filmmaker who lives in Colorado. He made the film Martin's Boat with Oars Rafting, an outfitter that owns and manages Martin's fleet of dories and takes people down the Grand Canyon in Martin's style. He followed this new boat called the Marble Canyon on its maiden voyage through the Grand Canyon.
The most recent boat is named Marble Canyon. It was built in honor of Martin Litton. And Marble Canyon is a place that is thankfully due to his fiery soul, that it remains undammed.
I should mention that all of Martin's boats are named after places that have been lost or are threatened with being lost.
So these boats are like little reminders are like little signature pieces that not only give great adventure rides, but they also remind us of places that we should think about. The film is about its maiden voyage down the Grand Canyon, seeing if the boat builder, Duffy Dale, can actually get it through unscathed without hitting a wall or a rock or flipping it. And so it was about that boat that she spent 5 months building. And there's a giant photograph of Martin emblazoned inside the hatch. So it's about that boat, but really it's symbolically about dories in general because he was the champion of the dories. It's also just a highlight of this remarkable place called the Grand Canyon, this open-air cathedral that is really unique to this planet and is sometimes often overlooked and in many cases, particularly today, is getting squeezed and pressured from all sides. People are looking to turn its beauty into cash in some way. There's been proposals to put trams from the rim of the Grand Canyon down to the river. There's increased pressure for uranium mining on the outside of the park's border. There's increased tourism helicopter traffic. There's increased development. And all of these threats to the Grand Canyon, they don't seem to be going away. And in some ways, we need more Martin Littons in the world.
I agree with you that we need more Martin Littons in the world, but are these tourism threats the same as the threats of a dam? I mean, is it that serious?
I would say yes. You're not going to flood the canyon with water, but you're going to flood the canyon with people. And I believe everyone should have the opportunity to see the Grand Canyon. It's the seventh wonder of the world. It's how we see it and how we go about that. So a tram that would bring 10,000 people a day, not only inside the Grand Canyon, but to what the Navajo consider their sacred lands, what the Hopi consider their sacred area. In some ways, you know, 10,000 people a day, it, even if everyone goes down with their best intentions, we have a tendency to litter. There's a huge problem of where the water comes from, how you deal with sewage, and all of this would be challenged down 4,000 feet below the rim at the confluence of the Little Colorado and the main stem of the Colorado. Of course, it's the Navajo's land that the tram originates from, so it's ultimately their decision. And many that I've spoken to believe that it would be a travesty. They want to keep their sacred land sacred and untouched, so their future generations and even those that have not seen it in this generation can see it as their ancestors did.
So, in order to make this film, Martin's Boat, about the river and about the Marble Canyon, you actually got to go on a dory trip down the Grand Canyon. What was that like? We should probably mention that when you're in a human-powered boat, it's a really long trip. This wasn't just like a weekend getaway. This was a full-on expedition.
I think it was a 14-day trip. It was actually a commercial trip. So there was two families, a bunch of friends and families, mostly from the Northwest region. They were warned that there was going to be some silly filmmaker tagging behind in a raft, trying to document this story, and they were keen. And then some of the boatmen, of course, were like Andre Potochnik is one of the longtime boatmen down there. He has a PhD in geology, and he worked with Martin Litton for years. Duffy Dale is a younger boatman, but he's run the river about 160 times. He built the Marble Canyon by hand with some help of his other boatmen. He grew up basically in the shadow of Martin Litton, so he didn't know him very well. He was just a tyke running around the boathouse. He was basically raised in the boathouse when Martin owned it. So there's a real family spirit and element with some of these boatmen that have been running it for years. And, of course, the stories of Martin, a guy named Moki is a great boatman, too. He did many trips with Martin, and each night we'd stop and camp and he'd love to bring out the gin to toast Martin. Martin's favorite cocktail was gin. And they would rehash great stories of some of the crazy antics of Martin Litton. Usually take the craziest line through the rapid, and somehow they say, you know, as it says in the film, he had an angel on his shoulder. He didn't flip somehow. Kevin Fedarko is an author who I worked with on the film. He did a book called The Emerald Mile about the fastest dory through the Grand Canyon. He was privileged to be to sit in the bow of a dory on Martin's last run through Lava Falls, which he rode at age 87, which now having done my first run down Lava Falls is just mind-boggling to me to imagine that he did that in a dory at age 87, but gives you a little insight into the spirit of Martin Litton.
Have you heard the story about Martin going down lava, flipping, hiking back up, getting in another boat, flipping, hiking back up?
Oh, yeah, that's actually Crystal Rapid.
Oh, it's
interesting. Further upstream, and he did it. He was so afraid of anybody getting hurt that he was going to row all four boats, but he rowed three of his four boats down Crystal, and each time he flipped, somehow swam the boat to the shore, walked back up, and repeated it because the rapid was raging, and it was in a violent state. He kept, I guess, thinking he was the only one who could do it. He couldn't. Finally, his fourth boatman, or one of his boatmen, took the fourth boat, and I can't recall if he flipped or not. I think he did flip. So all boats flipped on that trip, and that was just sounds like one of many average runs of Martin Litton.
Did you get to ride in Martin's boat?
I did. I got to ride. I rode one rapid in Martin's boat, the Marble Canyon. Duffy was rowing in a rapid called Upset, and ironically, that was the one rapid that Duffy nearly flipped in. There's a big couple waves at the bottom, and they surge a little bit, and this one stood up and basically just crashed right over the boat and buried us.
Closed out on us, and it just went right over the bow and completely submerged the boat. If I wouldn't have high-sided, we would have been in the drink, swimming. Upset. It was good.
Old Martin smiling inside the hatch.
Yeah. Letting go of the oar, the high side, and the oar.
So there's a comment about Martin speaking from the hatch there. I think that was, maybe one moment he was rumbling down there or giggling. Who knows? To give you a little perspective, these dories, they're not, you know, this Marble Canyon boat is new. It's had four runs down the canyon now, and all of them have been golden runs where they haven't hit a rock or flipped. But some of the boats in the fleet that are still going down there today were Martin's original boats and have been rowing the Grand Canyon since the early 70s. So it's like going down the river in old wooden antiques on some level. If only those boats could talk, I guess. The stories are pretty endless.
Did you stop on at the proposed dam site and see the blast holes?
Yeah, we did. We actually went about 200 feet, 300 feet into the cliff. There are these tunnels inside Marble Canyon on both the north and south rims, river right and river left, and they go in for hundreds and hundreds of feet. You just can't believe it. They were basically boring holes to test the rock to see what how they would do this dam. I've walked the upper rim where they actually had a camp, a whole settlement. They had a tram that they built up when they were originally planning to do the dam. And it's all left there. Nobody realizes there's this giant industrial wasteland on top of the red wall. It's about 1,000 feet up is the remnants of this man camp. And it just shows how intent they really were on building this dam. They were well along their way until the public started sending dump truck loads of letters to Washington, D.C. and the Bureau of Reclamation. It was a significant fight that was, in some ways, it was a David and Goliath story.
It makes it feel like it was kind of saved in the nick of time.
It seems like it. Having walked and seen some of the development up on that rim, which you never see when you're on the river, you realize what the kind of investment they put into it. And to be clear, Martin was just one of many passionate people back in the day that fought this. He wasn't the only one. But thanks to his passion, you know, he convinced David Brower to really pursue this battle. David Brower called Martin Litton his conscience, and Martin passionately stood up at a board meeting for the Sierra Club and convinced them that they have to fight the Marble Canyon Dam fight, have to put everything they have into that fight. Today, we're grateful that there's no dam, though. We don't have a reservoir in Marble Canyon. And what would have been tragic, in my opinion, is that not only would you have had a reservoir in this remarkable canyon, is that the river below it would have been turned into just basically a symbolic trickle. It wouldn't really have been a river.
Your film is fairly short. It's like 24 minutes or so. What did you have to leave out? What got left on the cutting room floor?
What got left? Well, it was an ongoing kind of struggle editing. There have been films that have been done specifically just on Martin and his life. So we tried to look at Martin kind of flowing with the state of the boatmen that are alive today carrying on his tradition. And of course, this new boat that's named and built just for him. But we left out other elements, some of the challenges happening in the Grand Canyon. We're trying to keep it not be too political, but we kept some of those out of it and just tried to highlight some of the beauty in the boat world. And of course, the American public's attention span seems to be getting shorter and shorter, so that's the reason for short films.
Are you going to make another movie about the Colorado River after this?
I don't know. I've made a few. I think that was my third or fourth film about the Colorado River.
If people can't make it to a film festival in the winter, is there any way that people can see Martin's boat?
Well, there's. I believe we're just talking about how we're going to release it online. We haven't figured out the exact date, but there's a website, martinsboat.com, and that has all the info, and we'll list all the releases coming up. all the theatrical film fest stuff, and also when we do it online. And right now you can read about it and see a trailer. That's a good place to start.
Well, it's a beautiful film, and thanks so much for making it and for talking to me about it.
No, thank you very much for the time.
Pete McBride, he's a filmmaker and a National Geographic photographer. His film, Martin's Boat, hits the film festival circuit in January.
River trip is sometimes, it's been called the voyage of life. It is a microcosm of life. The challenge isn't so great at the beginning, and then it develops and develops, and you find yourself able to cope with it, and finally you've done it. You've done the whole thing.
Even though Martin Litton helped stop the dam in Marble Canyon, we all know that there are plenty of other dams on the Colorado, not a single one of them without controversy. After a short break, The Source's Ross Chambliss talks about the fate of Lake Powell, which is the name for the water that's impounded behind Glen Canyon Dam. Stay tuned.